It's Tuesday, May 24th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, it's night and day with the Guardians offense came into Houston last night and just hit the ball all over the ballpark. And, you know, Tristan McKenzie was phenomenal. Seven innings, three hits, one run, and the Guardians get out of Monday's game with a 6-1 win. I don't think anybody saw that coming, holding Houston's offense down to one run.
Yeah, McKenzie was, he just pitched, he was really on top of his game, you know, strong from the first pitch to the last. And, of course, Jose Ramirez, you know, continues to drive this offense. And I think maybe they just needed to get under the roof, Joe, and get out of the weather.
Well, I'll tell you what, right now it's a little bit rainy and a little bit gloomy here this morning in Houston. And it's kind of nice to wake up and open up the windows and see that it's rainy and still know that we're going to play a game tonight, no matter what. You know, the roof was closed last night. I believe it was Altuve. There was a pop fly early in the game yesterday when, you know, almost scraped the roof. Yeah, it was Altuve. He hit one up into the rafters, and I saw Amed Rosario and Miles Straw coming together close to left field there. And it was all of a sudden Straw just sort of took over because, you know, he played a couple hundred games in this ballpark. So he knows a thing or two about catching balls up in that roof. He took command, got the ball, and it was just real interesting to see Miles Straw, what, six putouts last night in center field. A nice little homecoming for him.
Yeah, definitely. he got, you know, they played what? They had a video presentation for him before the game, and Michael Brantley lined out to him, what, three times?
Something like that, yeah. It was that was really the story of the game was they were making hard contact. They hit the ball on the nose a couple of times, but it was right at people. Michael Brantley lined out a couple of times. There was a nice ground ball pickup by Andrés Giménez on a ball up the middle that he made a play on in the seventh inning. I'm telling you, that's the formula for how the Guardians need to win games. You know, get an early lead, let your pitcher settle in, and Tristan was phenomenal. You know, a couple of big strikeouts to end innings, and you know, just he looks right now every bit of, you know, just a confident young starter.
Yeah, and May, he's 3-1 with a 2.05 ERA, Joe. Six earned runs, 26 in the third innings. 20 strikeouts, 157 batting average against, and six walks in nearly 30 innings. That's not the guy we saw last year.
No, not at all. And even that one loss that he did pick up, I believe he went six innings in that game and put himself, every one of his outings has been a quality start so far in the month of May, certainly putting himself in position to at least be considered for pitcher of the month. In the month of May, you mentioned Jose Ramirez again. Another, we're going to start calling this the Jose Ramirez special. A night where he has multiple RBIs, multiple extra base hits, and you know something like a home run or a triple or a double. He had a double and a home run last night, and every time he came to the plate with runners on base, he did exactly what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, four RBIs. He throws in a stolen base, like you pointed out in your gamer today. He's leading the big leagues in RBIs with 41, and just an extra base machine. And even though, you know, he's not this, you can't compare what he did in April to this month. You know, he struggled a little bit at the plate. You know, when they need something, when they're in the middle of a rally, he's usually at the center of it. And he's usually generating, you know, the big hit, or he's setting the table for somebody, or he's, you know, pushing the envelope. It's fun to watch him play. And I was thinking about this, Joe, of all the great players we've seen in Cleveland and covered in Cleveland and written about in Cleveland, almost all of them have always said, you know, I'd love to stay in Cleveland. And we've always seen how that ended up. They, you know, were waving goodbye to them either through a trade or free agency. And this is the one guy that stayed. And, you know, you wrote something for Sunday's paper about how, you know, Cleveland really should appreciate Jose and the commitment he made, and obviously the commitment the franchise made to him. But he's the one guy that stayed.
Yeah, that's it's sort of like he's also the one who doesn't talk the most. You get it. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I guess Manny Ramirez didn't talk a lot either. He didn't have a lot to say, but you know, Jose lets his personality and his sort of all of that show through in the way he plays and the way he carries himself. I think that one of the best moments of the year already so far was probably one of the most painful for him. That it was when he got hit last week when he fouled the ball off of his knee so badly that he went down to the ground. And I remember this because his helmet stayed on. That was amazing in the first place. He went down to the ground and he's writhing on the ground in pain. But when he got back up, you could see the moment he decided, okay, I'm going to stay in this game. He sort of straightened up his back and he did his little strut back up to the plate. And that was it. And you knew he was going to get a base hit after that.
Yeah. He singles in the right field. He's an interesting guy. He's a fun guy to watch. And I think he, you know, obviously, you know, we've had guys, you know, that, you know, Frankie Lindor, flashy player, you know, always said the right things, you know, kind of a media darling. And we've had other guys, Albert Bell and Jim Thome and Manny Ramirez, like you were saying, Sabathia and Lee, you know, pitchers, hitters, and that have all really said the right things at the right times about staying in Cleveland. And this guy really, like you said, he doesn't say a whole lot, but he likes it here. You know, it's obvious he likes it here. He wanted to stay here. He made that deal happen. And here he is. And I think we should enjoy him. You know, Paul Dolan kind of gets ripped for saying, enjoy Francisco Lindor while he's here. Well, you know, he kind of stepped up to the plate and said, enjoy Jose Ramirez, because he's not going anywhere for the next 7 years, Joe.
Right. Yeah. That's a lot of fun. You know what? I'll say this. Every city that we go to when, the local media in Houston comes in to talk to Terry Francona before the game, you know, every time they ask about Jose, somebody tries to pose it in a new way. Just like, you know, what can you say about how good Jose Ramirez is? And Tito always tries to, you know, give pretty much a stock answer. He says, you know, the kid is one of the best players in the game. His response, it's always, it's very much a canned answer. And that's not to fault Tito in any way, because he's been asked that question so many times by so many different people. But, you really get the sense of how much Tito appreciates Jose's whole game. You know, the way that he studies the game from the end of the bench, the way that he runs the bases, the little intangibles. It's got to be one of the, you know, real joys of Tito's, you know, at this stage of Tito's career, to be able to write his name in a lineup every day.
Yeah, like he said last night, he's a joy to watch, and I don't think he's lying about that.
Yeah, I'll also say that Michael Brantley is probably one of Terry Francona's favorite players that he's ever managed and been around. And he's been around some pretty great players and great guys. But, you know, just hearing some comments in and around the ballpark yesterday, as, you know, every time you see Michael Brantley again, you can't forget what he's meant to and what he's done for this franchise. And Tito in particular. So they've spent a lot of time together. And like Tito says, it's like, it just because the uniform changes doesn't mean we're not still fond of them, the different players like that. We just hope that they don't have success against us. And that's exactly what happened last night.
Yeah. Yeah. And Brantley probably, when you look at all those free agents and all the guys they traded away and let get away and let walk away, he's probably the guy that in different circumstances, they probably should have kept. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, when you look at Brantley, you know, he's had success with Houston. But, you know, in his, you know, at the tail end of his stay in Cleveland, we didn't really get to see a bunch. You know, he was hurt. So he missed almost 2 years, maybe a little more with that shoulder injury. And when he finally came back to full health his final year before free agency, you know, that was it. And he was gone. But that's probably, I bet you, if you asked, you know, Francona or Antonetti or Chernoff, even Dolan, I bet that's the one guy they wish they would have held on to.
Yeah, it's like that beginning of his like late career prime was that last year in Cleveland. And then he just sort of has been that consistent performer here every year in Houston since then. And it hurts to sort of look over there and see, you know, 3-4 line drives a game and thinking, boy, that could have been 33% of Cleveland's outfield for the last how many years if he had been able to work something out and stick around. And you know, I don't blame him one bit for going.
No, so, I mean, those guys got to go. They got to make their money, and they got to, you know, it's you work hard to become a free agent, and then it's, you know, then it's your decision.
Okay, so last night they open up the series, open up this road trip with a win. You've got Tristan McKenzie out there. Now you get Zach Plesac heading out for the middle game of the set Tuesday. They really did seem to take advantage of Luis Garcia last night. And, you know, they get Framber Valdez tonight, another young, talented pitcher. Were you surprised at the way Houston's infield played defense yesterday? That they opened up the door a couple of times.
Yeah, that was interesting. You know, the pitcher, of course, throws a double play ball away. Garcia leads to a big inning. And then there was another error in there where, you know, the young shortstop tries to make the Robbie Alomar double play, tag him, and then throw at the first base and threw wild. And Ramirez, you know, made him, you know, kind of hustle down the line, probably right. Put some pressure on him right there. And it just, you know, it can happen to anybody, Joe, even as, you know, they've been playing great defense, as you pointed out.
Yeah, that was, I believe they entered the game far and away the best defensive team in baseball, according to, or in the American League, according to Fangraphs, defensive runs above average metric. But you also got to remember they're playing with, you know, a rookie in center field, a rookie at shortstop. So, you know, their offense and their lineup are I think a little bit better equipped to protect some of those mistakes that those young kids make, and they can live with those a little bit more than, you know, if the Guardians make similar mistakes like that, pretty much the wheels fall off the cart and that game goes right down the right down the hill if it goes the other way. So Tito said in his post game, he's like, you know, we always talk about having to make the plays like that, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to win.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it goes hand in hand with good pitching, and, you know, which Cleveland has shown, but you've got to play defense behind your guys, and you've got to make those plays. And those are, you know, basically pretty routine plays. You know, they see them in spring training practicing, you know, the comebackers to the mound and starting a double play, a 1-4, 1-6-3 double play all the time. That, you know, Garcia just, you know, let that ball go. It got away from him.
Yeah, last week when Trevor Stephan made a big error and threw the game away, I believe the next day they were out there, Johnny Mack, and the infield was going through pitcher fielding practice. You don't normally see it during the season, but all the pitchers were lined up in the field, fielding ground balls, throwing to second base, throwing to third base, you know, trying to stay sharp. And that's just, I don't know if it was necessarily a punishment, but it was a way to get everybody out there and get them all moving around. And you know, Tito said that Carl's stressing fielding your position with the pitchers as well.
Yeah, and I think you know, I was listening to the game last night, and they also said that there's going to be more of an emphasis on pitchers holding runners, you know, the relievers holding runners, I guess, you know, because we've seen you know, some of the opposition, you know, running a little more freely, mm-hmm. you know, forcing the running game, stealing bases, and getting really good jumps on the catchers.
Yeah, and I believe in Sunday's game they actually pitched out for the first time that I can remember, maybe the first time all season. But that was in a game, a situation where they were anticipating a squeeze bunt. So Yeah, they did mention that there's a little more emphasis on that, and we knew that was going to be the case this year because of just the youth on the staff and on the roster. I wanted to mention Luke Maley, speaking of catchers, on base four times, a walk and three hits. That offense from the number nine spot in the order from the catcher's position, not something we're used to seeing here so far in 2022.
Yeah, just a really big game for him. And I like, you know, it looks like Maley is kind of, is he McKenzie's personal catcher now? He seems to get in the lineup almost every day, every time when McKenzie is pitching, and they seem to work really well together.
They do seem to work really well together. I'll ask Tito, you know, before today's game, if that's the case. I'm sure he'll deny that, even though the circumstantial evidence is there. But it also could be just because, you know, McKenzie hasn't really pitched on a regular 5-day rotation because of all these rainouts and delays and everything. Yeah. He's only pitching really once every 7 days or so. And that's got to be messing with a young guy as well. But, you know, there's also the fact that you've got to get Austin Hedges a break. He can't catch every inning.
Right. I was just wondering, what'd you see of McKenzie last night, Joe? What was working for him? What was, you know, why was he able to dominate the Astros like he was?
Well, it starts with being in the strike zone with his fastball, which was, I thought his fastball ticked up a little bit last night. The velocity might not, the numbers might not have been, you know, season highs or anything like that. But I think there was a, you know, Tito said there was a good ride to it in the zone. So the ball would sort of, you know, move in the strike zone after, you know, a hitter commits to it. And then, you know, once he established that he was, you know, able to spot his fastball, he was dropping curveballs on guys. And he really uses his curveball as his off-speed pitch now. It's the slider that he uses as a swing and miss, like a breaking pitch. The curveball he uses to get guys off of his fastball, and then he'll go and use the slider as a wipeout pitch. So all three were working last night. All three were really sharp, and he was good. Even in a situation where, you know, he wasn't getting a couple of strike calls. I tweeted about one. You know, he got Jose Altuve at one point. I believe it was the third inning. It was the third inning. He got Jose Altuve 2-2, and he dotted a fastball at the knees on the outside corner, and he didn't get the call. It was the home plate umpire, Dave Rackley, didn't give him the call. He comes back. He throws him a slider. Altuve fouls it off. He throws him another slider, and Altuve grounds into a 5-4-3 double play to end the inning. I think in the past, and we've seen – Tristan McKenzie has said things like, you know, the moment was overwhelming. You know, the famous line from him last year.
Yeah.
You know, that moment might have overwhelmed him in previous years, but didn't get the call, came back, executed his pitches, and got the end result he was looking for.
Yeah, I could tell, you know, his fastball looked like it was jumping kind of right at the strike zone. It was really – it had some like good carry to it. It looked like it was like really kind of jumped up on the hitters.
Yeah, that was, and that's what, you know, he has to have that life to his fastball because, you know, he doesn't throw a traditional changeup. He doesn't throw a splitter or anything like that. So, you know, when his movement is pretty much all in a similar direction with the slider and with the curveball, he's got to be able to throw something to get hitters off of that fastball. If they don't respect it in the first place because it can get on top of them, then they're just sitting back and teeing off on him. And we did see that he's going to get hit hard. He's going to give up hard contact because he doesn't get a lot of swing and miss. But, you know, he was effective, and he has been effective for the last, you know, really 4 or 5 starts.
Yeah, and just the way the whole rotation has kind of fallen in line now. You know, they're really getting, you know, solid starts, consistent starts from everybody in that rotation. And we'll see if Plesac can carry it on tonight.
Yeah, I think in the grand scheme of things, as we look at the big picture of the season, this is where we're going to be able to point to and say, look, not having a shortened spring training and having to ramp these guys up and be careful with them early in the year really did sort of bleed into the first month, month and a half of the season. But once that, you know, middle of May sort of hit, the rotation just sort of clicked. And this is where we expected the rotation to be sort of unreasonable to think that they would be this way out of the gate. But now that they've gotten here, it's exciting to see, you know, now you come to the park every day instead of one out of every 5 days, you come to the park every day looking forward to the starter and what he can do.
Yeah, definitely. It sets a good tone for the ball club, gives confidence to the offense. And now they know, you know, you don't have to score 10 runs, hopefully, every night to win.
Well, they won't anyways. We know that. So, hey, Franmil got a hit. Franmil hit another ball that I thought off the bat was going to be way out of the ballpark, and it winds up on the track in left field last night. I'm telling you, if anybody has a complaint about the baseballs, it's Franmil Reyes. And this is a guy who last year in spring training, when the rumors of, you know, the dead baseballs, he sort of, that was a great line. He sort of looked, he's like, wait until Franmil gets a hold of one of them.
I know.
So, but it's now it's ringing true. It's like these balls are dying on the warning track. I got to believe, you know, Franmil Reyes has to send a formal letter to the commissioner saying, you know, what the hell are you trying to do here?
I wonder if it's gotten into, you know, kind of leaked into Franmil's, you know, conscience, if he's thinking about it too much. You know, that would be a good question to see if Franmil is worried about the ball or if he's just worried about his swing.
You know, I've had exactly that same thought in pregame. It's just I try to figure out a way to formulate the question without making it sound like you're trying to tell the guy, hey, why do you only have warning track power? Because don't forget, you got to stand 5 feet away from the guy when you're asking that question, and I don't run real fast. So,
yeah.
All right, Hoynesy, again, we've got Framber and Zach Plesac tonight. Should be a fun one at Minute Maid Park. We'll check in again with you tomorrow here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
All right, Joe.